Let me briefly introduce the speakers today. I myself, I'm one of the writers on Wikipedia, one of the many thousands of people who work on Wikipedia articles. I'm also one of the many developers who work on the Media Wiki software, which we use. And in my professional life, I'm a freelance writer for magazines such as City and Telepolis, or basically the Hasbro publications, and I'm currently working on a book about wikis and online communities. And Jimmy Wales is the original founder of Wikipedia in 2001 and of its umbrella organization, the Wikimedia Foundation. And Sunil Shaw, as I already said, is the founder of MeetWiki, which is a quite interesting wiki about communities, about especially about wikis themselves. It's kind of a meta wiki. The term meatball is supposed to represent us humans as, yeah, bags of meat. And well, it covers the social relations on wikis. And he has, and the collective, as they refer to themselves, have developed quite a few interesting observations which are applicable to most wikis. And if you want to start a wiki of your own, you should listen carefully to what Sunia will have to say about the social aspects of wiki communities. Also today, there will be a workshop, which will be right after this panel. It will mainly focus on the MediaWiki software, which I co-develop, and there will be a live installation, so you can see how we do it. And we will demonstrate the functionality of this technology so you can decide whether you want to use it or whether you don't. And we'll answer any questions you have. Tomorrow on Sunday in the Technical University in Berlin, there will be Wikipedia Community Day. While this panel and the Wiki Workshop are about wikis in general, to some extent the Wikipedia Community Day is just about Wikipedia. And the Wikipedia community will address some questions which have been nagging us for quite some time. For example, we are trying to start a Wikimedia's daughter organization, a Wikimedia daughter organization here in Germany, which would give us the advantage that we can solicit donations as a nonprofit organization, and we can publish this as a German organization and do many other things which are currently legally problematic. And so this is organizational stuff, and there will also be policy discussions, technological discussions, everything related to Wikipedia. If you're generally interested in wiki technology, you should be here, but since you already are, I shouldn't tell you this. We've discussed a little bit if we should have a wiki song, and I hope it's going to play now, and if it's not, then I'm just screwed. But okay, it's not playing as expected. Well, the song is supposed to be the Hey Hey Wiki song from the television series, which is quite cool. But Wikipedia is not about Vikings, so maybe we should focus on what Wikipedia is actually about and what a wiki is. Here's one of my favorite quotes, which I found on the English Wikipedia quite some time ago. And basically someone discovered something. He said, "Attention Wikipedia, there's a major bug on your site allowing me to do this right on your articles. I have done no damage, but I'm trying to alert you before someone does." Well, yeah, that's kind of the point. So what is a wiki? A wiki is a set of pages which everyone can edit. I would like to ask you, maybe you could just raise your hand, how many of you have already edited a page on a wiki?
Hi.
Well, I would say the majority at least, so I don't have to talk too much about the basic stuff. One key attribute of most wikis, though not all wikis, is that you don't have to register yourself before you can do anything. You can just edit a page. Just do it. You can, well, any page, with a few exceptions on Wikipedia in particular, but you don't have to like create an account, register an email address, click on a confirm link or stuff like that. If you don't register, you're just going to be some IP address which is going to show up in the history of the page. Which is also one key attribute of wiki technology, in that every change you make to any page in the set of connected pages is going to be protocoled. Well, Sunia would correct me on this, and that he would say, yes, some wikis don't protocol all changes, which has very good reasons. But generally, it's important to be able to track, at the very least, the recent history of a page, and so that you can see exactly what changes have been made. You can get a so-called diff view, which shows you, I will show you this, side by side, the changes which have been made to a page, and will highlight them. And based on this, you can then decide if you want to keep these changes or not. There's a page called Recent Changes on practically every wiki, which will show you all changes to all pages in the wiki which have been made recently. And from this, you can get to the diff view. From this, you can get to the individual page history and so forth. Wikis are a pretty big thing right now. Basically, wikis were developed in 1995 by a software developer from Portland, Ward Cunningham, and they were originally developed as a kind of open community knowledge base and discussion center for the topic of development patterns in software programming, which is a bit of a specialized issue, really. And basically, it took quite a while for wikis to get really widely adopted. And one change which took place, which I will also show you, is the change from camel case to free links, where you have original wikis and require you to write words next to each other in order to create a link. And the wikis which we are using in the Wikimedia Foundation, you can wrap words in double square brackets and you can have spaces in between them. And this greatly increases, in my opinion, the readability of the individual pages and has contributed to some extent to the wide adoption of wikis. But now Wikipedia is, of course, by far the largest wiki, and there are many, many, many hundreds of different wiki engines and many thousands of wikis, and including much internal use. To my big surprise, for example, the Gartner Group and several other large corporations are using our wiki software for their internal knowledge management. Corporations are surprisingly open-minded when they think they can increase their efficiency, and wikis can increase efficiency to a reasonable extent, because unlike a normal content management system, you don't have all these barriers. I mean, CMS technology invests a lot of energy and time in making sure that all changes are approved by the right persons and the right department, whereas the wiki just says, hey, you can edit this page, you can edit any page, and we're going to make sure as a community which shares the same goals that the total collection of pages is in a reasonable state at any given time. So, and this works amazingly well. Well, the different wiki engines have names like Wiki Picky and Clicky Clicky and Picky Wiki, and ours is called MediaWiki, which was originally derived from the UseMod Wiki software, which is a very nice small wiki script. And there are many other wiki engines. I wrote a review of wiki engines for City some time ago, and I reviewed five different ones: TWiki, Moin Moin, UseMod Wiki, PHP Wiki. Well, my conclusion was that Moin Moin is a pretty good wiki. If you want to write this down, if you want to check wiki technology, it's spelled M-O-I-N twice, Moin Moin. And that's a pretty nice modular wiki, and MediaWiki, which we use for Wikipedia, is not as modular, but it's, in my opinion, more usable for the average user. So where are we going with this? What exactly is Wikipedia, and where are we right now? It's, of course, an encyclopedia in over 50 languages, which is quite remarkable. We have even languages like Esperanto and, as of late, Klingon. And yeah, these are surprisingly active. Especially Esperanto. And, well, the German Wikipedia right now has almost reached 100,000 articles, and we were hoping we could announce 100,000 at this. Huh? 350 articles are still missing, yeah. Maybe we can make it until tomorrow to the community day. And the English Wikipedia has about 275,000, right? Yeah, I think so. And we're approaching the 300,000 mark with that, and it's pretty much beating every encyclopedia in existence in terms of quantity. Quality is more difficult. And in total, over all the languages, we right now have 750,000 articles, and it's growing at an amazing pace. It's absolutely amazing. I mean, the funny thing was, and Jimmy will tell you more about this, that after we started Wikipedia, in the first month, we already got 1,000 articles, but the project which it was derived from, Newpedia, with its strict peer review, only had like 20 or 30 or And that's because Wiki, like every article about wikis will say this, Wiki comes from Hawaiian for quick, and that's what it is about. It's about quickly building knowledge bases. And one very important correct decision which was made in the creation of Wikipedia was that we chose to pick an open content license, unlike many other wikis out there. And we are using the GNU Free Documentation License, which is quite controversial. At the time we started Wikipedia, the Creative Commons licenses did not exist. I looked it up. They were launched in December 2002. So we didn't have that choice. And the GNU FDL was obviously a GNU license, so it seemed like the obvious choice. The GNU FDL comes originally from printed software manuals by the Free Software Foundation. It has some problems. It's quite complicated, for example, in that it has all this stuff like title pages and back cover pages, and it allows for invariant sections which cannot be modified. And this is quite, well, non-free. And the Debian project, for example, Debian Linux, doesn't like that. So they have shunned the GNU FDL, and they ban it from their distribution. And we are saying, okay, we are using the FDL, but we opt out, you can do this, we opt out from these options, back cover text, front cover text, and invariant sections. What we are trying to do today with Larry Lessig and Eben Moglen is to maybe find a migration path to a less complicated license, because right now if you wanted to print a Wikipedia article on a t-shirt, the license would take the whole back of the shirt. So, yeah, that's kind of annoying. It's not the case with the Creative Commons licenses, which are reasonably simple. Well, all the Wikimedia wikis are organized in this Wikimedia Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization in the state of Florida, created by Jimmy Reyes. And yeah, we are working on many spin-off projects, new projects, printed editions. Jimmy will tell you a lot about all this stuff. Before I go to this stuff, I want to actually show you Wikipedia, which is quite cool because on this notebook I don't have wireless LAN. I'm very lame, so I only have this locally installed copy of Wikipedia. But this is cool because you can just take like the huge database of maybe 500 megabytes, which are just the current revisions. If you take all the old revisions of all articles, you go to like 30 gigabytes compressed. And you can just import it and do with it what you want. And you can, for example, you can start an offline edition, or you can start printed edition, everything. There's no limit on what you can do with the content, including commercial use. This is a bit of a problem in that we include commercial use because other licenses don't allow that. So we can, for example, not take content from a wiki which is under non-commercial use only license. These compatibility issues are quite significant, and that's also something we're trying to address. I picked a few articles, and right now it's initializing this huge database and the MediaWiki software. It was quite a bit of work to actually get this imported into my laptop. I had to write a little Perl script which would feed the database every time there's about 100 articles. I hope you can read this. Is this readable? I think this sucks. I think I'm going to restart Mozilla. I picked a few articles which I think are representative of Wikimedia's strengths, and Wikipedia in particular, of course. And one of these articles is the article MKUltra, which I always use in discussions about Wikipedia as a positive example. It describes a mind control program by the Central Intelligence Agency of the United States of America, which was, I think now it's readable, right? Yeah. Which was practice from the 1950s through the 1970s, and they basically tried several drugs on involuntary human subjects, like LSD and other drugs, in order to determine whether people could be controlled in some way. One thing for, obviously, for extracting information, the other thing for getting people like to assassinate Fidel Castro or something. And, well, the thing is, this article is quite detailed, and it's actually based to some extent on United States government information. They have exposed this pretty well by now. There was even a United States Supreme Court case about this. Here, this describes the revelation of the MKUltra project. The original, it was an article in the New York Times which described it. And yeah, well, you won't find MKUltra in any other encyclopedia. You won't find it in Carta Britannica, Brockhaus. It's just not there. And in my opinion, that shows one thing. Encyclopedias are, of course, like any published work, subject to political influence. And I don't know if they just don't know about it or if they willfully choose not to write about it. But it doesn't really make a difference in the bigger scheme of things. On Wikipedia, you have people who care about all these nasty aspects of history and who document it to a great extent. And this is just one example I want to show you. Before I go to the other examples, I might just briefly illustrate the wiki key concepts. Well, I hope this works. As I said, this is a local installation of the MediaWiki software, and we'll go into much more detail later when it comes to using it. This is the actual edit screen of the article. And what you have here in the double square brackets are links to other articles. And I can just briefly go back to the, well, not so briefly. I can maybe show you that in the original article, you have these links. Some links are blue and some links are red. And, well, do we have any red links here? Yes, here, for example, the Ellen Memorial Institute. And that's a link to a page which doesn't exist yet. You have all these links in all of Wikipedia, which other pages which simply aren't written yet. And that's the way that content is created on Wikipedia, first of all. The people just follow these links and they notice, hey, I can write something here, I can do whatever I want, and they just do it. And usually the first thing they do is write some crap when they use Wikipedia for the first time. And they, well, just because they're so amazed that this is, after all, possible to do whatever they want. So they write something like, one of the favorite things I have is there's a page on our organization wiki which is called Friends of Gay People Should Not Edit Articles. And the reason is most people write stuff like this. So we say, yeah, well, obviously they have many friends who are gay, so maybe they shouldn't edit articles. And that's the type of stuff we immediately delete. And we have a class of users who are called administrators or sysops, and they have deletion rights. When an article is deleted, it is not like it's vanished. People can undelete it. Administrators can undelete it if there's consensus to do so. The deletion process on Wikipedia works like you have a page which is called Votes for Deletion. And normally, when a page is not such an obvious case of a page you don't want to have, then you have to nominate it on this page, you have to list it there, and people are going to comment, yes, I agree, this is useless, or they say, no, this is quite in line with our policies. And based on this, finally, after a period of 5 days, I think, a decision has to be made and an administrator decides what to do. So we are very consensus and compromise-based in general. Now, if I wanted to write a page, I would say, like the Allen Memorial Institute, and then I could do things like highlighting text in bold, for example. That's something we require for the words which are used in the introduction. This is one of our strange conventions. And the other thing is you can obviously link individual words. And this is the key concept. One of the key concepts of wiki technology is this abstract editing syntax. So you don't have to know HTML to do anything useful. You can just do it. And you can learn from the existing articles, and for example, these are headlines, and there's all these kinds of stuff. You can do bullet one, bullet two, and so forth. And yeah, it's very easy to understand, and it's even images. I mean, my father asked me to set up a wiki for him for his school, and I did so, and his pupils were immediately able to use it, and they even added images and stuff like that. Now we have the final page with the bold text which we created, the link, the headline, and the bullets. So yeah, it's very simple. And when you actually save this page, then it gets locked into the big page history. And as I said, you can compare the individual revisions, and you can see if you approve of this edit. And then you can decide if you want to keep it. And these are the mechanisms which we use to make sure that no nonsense is ended. There's another mechanism which Jimmy is briefly going to talk about, and that we have a nomination process for articles which you think are very, very great. Okay. I'm going to edit this one time more. I'm going to just briefly add something to it, and then we can see how this difference mechanism works. And one article I can show you at the same time is, yeah, this is an example for an article which is greatly illustrated. I'd like to show it because these images were all taken by the same person. It's an article about the history of Greek art, of ancient Greece. And this person, who is an academic, Dr. Adam Carr, has gone to a lot of places, to a lot of museums. This photo is obviously from a museum. I don't know if you see this, but you see the glass reflection in the photo. And the pictures don't show the way they're supposed to. But yeah, this article has quite a lot of pictures, and I can show you these pictures on their own, actually, which are in this directory. And yeah, it's obvious that he's done a great extent of work to illustrate this article appropriately. And that's typical for Wikipedia. I mean, this image is from another article. And that's typical for Wikipedia, that people invest an incredible amount of work in it. And even on seemingly trivial subjects. I mean, one of the other articles I wanted to show you is the article Soap Bubble. And this is quite a funny story, because this article was nominated on our page for nominating great articles. And yeah, people say, well, it's a funny subject, but it's not really complete yet. So we really targeted this article, and we added a lot of information about soap bubbles. And one of the things we did, we have this great artist who actually comes from the Wikibooks project. And she's great at drawing scientific diagrams. And so she did these scientific diagrams about the interference patterns, how they are created in soap bubbles. You see, when you have a soap bubble, you have the inner and the outer layer, and some lights of way arrive at the inner layer and some arrive at the outer layer, and then they reflect it, and that creates these reflected interference patterns. And these diagrams are supposed to show this effect. And because I couldn't have explained that to you several months ago, I actually learned this from these diagrams. So yeah, and this is a great example for an article which you also wouldn't find in this form in a traditional encyclopedia, because I consider it too trivial. I mean, if you wanted to know how soap bubbles work, how you can make them, you would probably have to Google for it. Or you check Wikipedia, because we have an article about it. And the other thing is, we have articles of contemporary interest, which, you know, on Thursday I met one person from the Brockhaus Encyclopedia. He's probably here. Could he stand up, maybe, so that people can identify him? Brockhaus? Yeah, hi. And yeah, he told me about how difficult it is to get a subject included in the Brockhaus Encyclopedia, how hard it is to convince people that a person is really worthy of being included. And yeah, that's different for us. I mean, it's not difficult to get a person included in Wikipedia. You just do it. And this is actually a terrible case. So this is a case of, I'm sure you've all heard about it. It's a case of a child who was murdered in the United Kingdom by two slightly older children. He was tied to railroad tracks, and the train went over the child. And it was a very, very famous case, and it inspired the whole debate about juvenile delinquency and how we should punish such crimes. Yeah, and well, obviously, an encyclopedia, I actually just checked it, the Britannica doesn't have something, Brockhaus obviously doesn't have something either, so they don't consider it worthy of inclusion. But we do have actually a quite an comprehensive article which covers both how the case happened and the trial, and it also analyzes the proposed causes, what drove those children to murder, which has been greatly discussed in the tabloid media and so forth. So yeah, that's another example. And well, I'm running out of time, so I'm not going to show you this, but the other thing is that we always have very comprehensive articles about subjects which are in the news. The moment something happens, basically, we have a news article, we have an article which describes the event. For example, after the death of Ray Charles, we immediately had this 5 minutes later in the article about Ray Charles, or when the Space Shuttle Columbia accident happened, then within 30 minutes we had a comprehensive article which described a summary of all the sources. And obviously you don't find this in traditional encyclopedia. Now, briefly I want to touch upon, I mean, in the last few months Wikipedia has gotten so much love from the media, it's absolutely amazing, but obviously we are not free from criticism and there are some problem areas. So I want to briefly describe what these problem areas are. One of the things that obviously is often mentioned is the accuracy of the encyclopedia articles. And yeah, we have an article in Wikipedia which is called Why Wikipedia is So Great. And it's obviously not neutral. So this article describes our arguments on why we think it works. And one of the arguments it brings up is that, yeah, well, if you see a mistake, fix it, and you should have an article where as soon as the history gets out, the article becomes better, and so forth. These are the standard arguments. Of course, it's not quite as simple. For example, when I demonstrated wiki technology to my mother, I showed her one how this creation of pages works, and there was an article about sociologists, and there was a link to a sociologist called Anthony Giddens. And it didn't exist yet. So I created it and I told her, yeah, it's amazingly easy to fix vandalized articles, and I wrote some crap in the page. And yeah, it was fixed after 2 minutes. And yeah, she said, yeah, okay, that's pretty obvious. So let's try something else. So she wrote in the article, yeah, Anthony Giddens is a sociologist who is famous for reforming sociology entirely and has many revolutionary concepts, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, that's not quite as difficult to fix. And actually, after she did that, someone else edited it and fixed the formatting, bolded the name, added a birth date, added a link to the homepage for the sociologist, but the crap is still in there. And it's still in there after 3 months. So yeah, it's not quite that simple. And that's actually a big problem for us. And that by allowing everyone to edit articles, and when you have obscure subjects or subjects which aren't as easy to pin down, and sociology is such a subject, then it's often very difficult to find inaccurate statements. So what we are working towards, and Jimmy will touch upon this, is a peer review process so that we at least can have a selection of articles which we consider reasonably good. The other thing which is very important to us is a principle we call WikiCat, which is derived from netiquette. And this is basically being nice to one another. And of course, this sounds a lot easier than it is. And in many cases, we have very, very, very severe conflicts between users. And so we have developed all these kinds of conflict resolution mechanisms, like we have on the English Wikipedia, the arbitration committee, which is kind of an appointed set of high-level users who can say, yeah, you're going to be banned for 7 days or 1 month if you keep this up. And this doesn't work so well because it's a very complex process and these people have to find rough consensus, so they usually settle on the weakest and softest solution and stuff like that. This is something we have to resolve. Then the other thing is articles which are very controversial, and I just want to tell you one anecdote, recent anecdote about this, which is the Augusto Pinochet article. And basically that's the edit war of the last 3 months on the English Wikipedia, which has attracted a lot of attention. And it was just about one word. And it was two words. It was about the introduction of the Augusto Pinochet article and whether the introduction should mention that the coup against Salvador Allende was supported by the United States. And Encarta, for example, says so openly. We don't, or some people want us not to, because they say, yeah, that it wouldn't be neutral for us to say that because the CIA denies it. And yeah, it's very difficult to agree upon what an indisputable fact is, even if you have documents, even if you have historical proven information, even if you have other reference works, and people are just going to keep debating, and it's kind of a war of attrition, and whoever holds on longest eventually wins, and that's of course not the way to write an encyclopedia, so that's something we have to resolve in a better fashion, maybe by having some process where you can call for a vote if you can't reach consensus, because it was quite clear that the majority was of the opinion that it should be mentioned. Well, then the other thing is obvious trolling. Obvious trolling is easy to deal with. I don't know if you're familiar with the term troll. It's basically a term from the internet culture, which means that you deliberately fish for reaction. It originally comes from fishing, so it refers to the way the bait is used to attract fishes. And yeah, trolling is a problem because these are the kind of people who are trying to create a stir, trying to create problems. On Wikipedia, that's very easy, because you can simply edit an article and just insert some crap which is obviously false and obviously very, very not neutral, and you can just talk about it forever. So you can hold up resources, you can hold up intellectual resources, human resources on the project by doing this. We are quite vulnerable to trolling, so that's also something we have to address. And another thing is this thing we call edit wars, which are these conflicts on a page between two contending revisions, like on the Augusto Pinochet article. What happens is that one person writes a certain version and the other person goes through the page history and restores the previous version, and then it goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth for sometimes 100 revisions in extreme examples. And that's what we call edit wars, and it's of course very detrimental to our project. Then there are very, very strong challenges we have to meet in terms of really getting this organization to work. We have to get this organization involved in political lobbying process and things like that, things which affect us. Jimmy will talk about this. And of course, the server performance, which has been pretty bad as of late. I want to conclude briefly why I believe that Wikipedia is necessary, because it's not obvious. You might, for example, argue, yeah, well, the Encyclopedia Britannica costs 40, 50 bucks on CD-ROM right now, and it's obviously still quite a bit away ahead of Wikipedia in terms of quality, so why should we support this kind of project? Well, I want to go back to something which Ibn Moglen said on Thursday. I don't know if you all heard his keynote, probably not, and he basically described the challenges faced by the free content community. And he said one thing: perpetuation of ignorance is the beginning of slavery. And I think that's very true. But one thing, while I agreed with pretty much everything he said, one thing I didn't agree with is his general optimism, his general attitude, yes, we will win. And as a kind of reminder that this isn't necessarily so, I have chosen this picture, which is from the Sala di Constantino in the Vatican. And it's called The Triumph of Christianity. It's by Tommaso Lauretti. And, well, it's supposed to symbolize the destruction of pagan culture and the victory of Christian culture. And of course, when it actually happened, it wasn't as beautiful as on this picture. And you have events like the destruction of the Library of Alexandria and the destruction of the pagan temples, the systematic burning of books and all this kind of things. And yeah, well, this is a neutral point of view. This is my point of view. And I believe that a society can go through these kind of transformations. We are not safe from them. We are not necessarily in danger of religious fundamentalism as much as the Roman Empire was. But we may be in danger from other threats. And for example, this whole idea of locking content down, of limiting everything, of perpetuating ignorance. This is a threat to our society, and we have to see it as a threat. And we shouldn't take the attitude that we're going to win. We have the attitude that we have to fight for it. And yeah, I think Wikipedia is one of the components of this ongoing battle against ignorance. And I believe that the initial goals of the encyclopedists of like Diderot and the Britannica people were to connect the sum of all human knowledge, and in that way prevent the perpetuation of ignorance. But of course they didn't have the tools to do so. They were just a handful of people and some free authors who gave them texts and so forth. And they were also tied to the publishers. And now we have an amazing set of tools. We have digital cameras, we have the wiki technology. We have people who are connected to an amazing extent and also have the resources and the time and the motivation and the energy to do this. We can actually end the perpetuation of ignorance. And that's what I'm here for. Thank you very much. I would like to briefly ask you if there are any questions of understanding so far. We can take maybe two or three questions right now. There will be a 30-minute period of discussion after this panel, if we have enough time. So if there are any questions, please feel free to ask.
Yeah, I have one question. If you are concerned about accuracy, is it possible in Wikimedia that the author or everyone who is interested in a certain article is notified of any changes in this article by email or something?
What we have on Wikipedia is one thing we call the watch list. And once you are logged in on Wikipedia, you can put an article on this watch list, and then you click on my watch list, and then you see all changes which have been made to articles in your watch list. Other wikis, like TWiki, have email notification. We don't have that. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but you have to be online to check.
Yes, you have to be online right now.
That's a pity, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not very nice. That's true.
I have two quick questions. First, have you thought about, as a way of resolving some of the controversies, to describe the controversy rather than trying to resolve it, just to put in the page, this is a, you know, some people think this, other people think that?
Yes, of course.
Is that effective at all? Or?
Yes, and that's the normal way we try to resolve things. And in the Auguste Pinochet case, that was actually one of the proposed resolutions, was to say many people believe that the CIA backed this coup. And other people say, on the other end of the political spectrum, say, well, we can't write an encyclopedia like that. We have to actually say things which are indisputable facts. And if we have the documents, like for example, in this case, we have a telephone conversation transcript between Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon, and they say, yeah, well, these bastards are gone, we did it, why? and you have these documents, and well, what are you going to do? Are you going to say, yeah, this is controversial? Are you going to say many people believe this? Is this strong enough? Is this too weak? Personally, I believe in this case it would be too weak. Personally, I believe at least you would have to say, well, most scholars agree, most historians agree, something like that. But it's a very, very difficult field.
My second question is quite different. Do you offer any data feeds that are besides, you know, if someone wanted to get, say, a list of all the topics defined or something like that, do you have any form other than crawling the site?
Yes, crawling the site is quite annoying. We have something called the category system as of the beginning of June, and this is basically something which I can briefly show you. When you have an article, you can do this. And this, at the moment you do this, and I hope this works, I'm not sure if categories are enabled in this system. It should be added to this category. And these category pages are themselves editable. And you can put a brief description on there what this category is about. And you can put the category itself in another category. And the amazing thing is that the day we created this category system, 3 days later on the English Wikipedia, we had 1,300 categories. And that just gives you, yeah, it works actually. And now we have at the bottom of this page a list of categories in which this page is. And if you go to the page, then you can describe the category and you see a list of pages and a list of subcategories. And yeah, it's difficult because we have to decide to which depth we want to go. How many subcategories do we want to have? And no, this doesn't work. But normally you would be able to describe the category, and I didn't upgrade the database, so it doesn't support it yet. But and you see the articles which are in this. This works on the live side, and it works on all Wikipedias now.
But this is still an HTML page. There's no way one can walk the structure without fetching it and finding links within it and ignoring all the boilerplate on the left. And
what would you prefer?
An XML feed or something like that, yeah, the content?
Well, we do have our XML RSS feeds of the recent changes, of the new pages. You can XML export individual pages. I don't think you can, well, you can probably export category pages, but not in useful format yet. But you can do this kind of stuff.
Okay.
Just don't do too much of it, because our servers are a bit overtaxed right now.
You could also just download the database.
Yeah. Yeah, you can
download the whole database. Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
It seems to me this is a resource like the Open Directory, where the Open Directory is a site, but predominantly it's used by other people who download the data and then integrate it into other things.
Yes,
it seems to have that potential. And I guess downloading the whole database is the way to do that.
Yes, yes. We share very similar philosophies to the Open Directory project. I would like to hand over now to the great founder of Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, who has invested an enormous time, enormous amount of energy, enormous amount of money into this project. So please give him a brief applause.